Well, Lord, be with us today, and Lord, inspire a desire just to follow what the Holy Spirit highlights to each and every person as they can just continue to seek you out like a treasure in your word and in prayer and in worship. Amen. Amen. So, just as I was saying earlier, last couple weeks we discussed the Proverbs 31 woman, right? And how it wasn't just an individual ideal, almost perfect person that we could compare ourselves to and feel bad about not meeting all those standards, right? But that it's a picture of the body of Christ and the bride of Christ, right? It's about the corporate body of believers. And the ideal woman in the church is the bride of Christ, right? The corporate expression of believers as the bride. And so, there's so many things that you can talk about when you talk about the bride. And so we're going to go there. But in Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8, this is what it says. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. So, again, this scripture is saying, let us, as a corporate company of believers, let us rejoice and be glad in him and honor him. And that has everything to do with what we saw in Proverbs 30, 31. So, it goes on, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. We know that is a day yet to come, right? And his bride has prepared herself. So that is speaking about us doing our part, following Jesus and surrendering to his will, and just the whole process of growing in the Lord, and that when we talk about the Proverbs 31 woman, we're talking about a person who didn't just become this perfect person all at once, or it didn't happen all at once for a company and a body of believers as represented in the bride, the corporate reality, but that there's preparation involved. So we prepare ourselves as we respond to the Lord and the Lord's leading, we prepare ourselves, and that's a process. So no one should feel like they are supposed to be this perfect human being, but that in Christ Jesus, as we are new creatures, that we are in the very perfection of Christ. So we do our part. And then there's another scripture, I forget where it's at exactly, but it says, he prepares for himself a bride. Now I've said this so many times, so it's a relationship, right? We do our part, he does his part. And it says, she has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. Here in verse 8, it says, she has been given. Who gave it? God gave it. God gave her pure white linen to wear. That is purity. That is righteous acts. That is faithfulness, devotion, and all those things that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. And so, when it talks about pure white linen as a material is breathable. It's natural. It's organic. There's no sweat involved. And we know that in the Old Testament, the priests would, wear their garments, and it was hot. It was sweaty. And that represents working for something for God, like you're performing, so to speak. And then they're later given fine white linen. And that's when we're surrendering and trusting God, and he's imparting to us the ability to do righteous acts and to walk humbly with him and to be faithful and devoted. And when we think of the bride again, referring to Proverbs 31, woman, it's a collective body of believers undergoing sanctification. And it's a collective body of believers that is actively prepared. So we are active in our walks and we should be preparing. And you can refer back to the story of the 10 virgins, right? The five were prepared, you know, and the other five were not. Now, I don't know that they all didn't make it, but how many of you know it's easier if you're prepared and something comes along the way and you're ready for it, right? And that takes some planning and some discipline on our parts. You know, if you're having a big feast, you prepare, you buy your stuff, you prepare it ahead of time, you invite the people. There's preparation. And as we are waiting for the return of the Lord, we are to be prepared in this hour. And I will say that being prepared now is more important than ever because of the things that are on the horizon. When we look at the fact that we can't differentiate between what's true and what's false when it comes to AI and the things that you see and the machinery behind where that stuff is taking us, you know, we need not be afraid. But we need to hone discernment. We need to see, you know, and be rooted in the truth so that when, you know, the deluge comes and it may happen just overnight, you know. And I've been looking into a lot of this stuff lately about, you know, general intelligence versus super intelligence, where machines are going to be able to do better than human beings can do. And so we're in a precarious hour, but I do believe that God is setting the stage for the return of Jesus as these things come about. So we need not be afraid. As darkness gets darker, the light is that much brighter. But we do need to be prepared. We need to be aware. We need to understand the wiles of the enemy and how he works. Okay. So again, just the best thing that we can do is dive deep into Jesus and his word, you know, and the best thing we can do is have accountability with the body of Christ. See, we're not going to be able to do this walk just by ourselves anymore. Those days are over. You know, I mean, if people have removed themselves from church, they're gonna have a harder time, right? So it's important that we are collectively coming around the Lord's spirit and truth and his presence and communion with one another and fellowship. So oh, that's you. I thought that was me. In Revelation 19, verse 6, it talks about the sound of a vast crowd or mighty waves or the crash of loud thunder. And so it says, praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. And that should be what we end with when we're concerned about all these other issues, right? The Lord reigns, you know. Praise the Lord. And here we're seeing this voice loud. It's not shy about their devotion to God. And there's going to be a day where we are all going to be called to do some bold things, right? And then in verse 9 of Revelation 19, it says, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And we know that, you know, we have been invited into relationship with the Lord, that we are his bride, both individually and corporately, and that he is our bridegroom and he is our husband. He's our Lord and all those things. Now, I'm going to read something from Hosea chapter 2, verse 19. And this is what God is saying. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love in compassion. This is our bridegroom. He is committed to us. We are engaged, so to speak, right? We are married to Christ, and eventually we have the wedding supper of the Lamb, right? When the bride comes out of heaven and all that that we see in Revelation. So God's voice to us, I will betroth you to me. You're not betrothed to any other thing except a person, the person of Jesus, forever. And I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. This is God's heart for us as his children. So we need to get rid of all those, you know, I'm not this and I'm not that, you know, and all the law of condemnation, all that kind of stuff. We need to be healed of shame and false guilt and really just be clothed in Jesus, that fine linen, right? And it also says in that verse, I will betroth you in faithfulness and you will acknowledge the Lord. So that again speaks of an intimate relationship that we have. And in verse 23 of Hosea, the second part, it says, I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. So I love that scripture. I think that's awesome because so many of us still stay in this state that is not my loved one. You know, God loves everybody else, but he doesn't love me the same that he loves everybody else. No, this is God speaking. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. You are my loved one. And they will say, you are my God. I love that. That's just so, so beautiful. And, you know, when we think of the last couple of weeks when we've studied the genealogy in Matthew with the women that are listed in the genealogy, most of them were called not my loved one, right? And they became his loved ones. So that's what Jesus does. You know, he's not out to get us. He's not out to trick us or set us up. You know, that's what he does. He calls these women that we saw, Tamar, Rahab, Bathsheba, Ruth, he called them not my loved one, became my loved one. So I just think that's miraculous. And we know the truth is in 2 Corinthians that we are a new creation. That's not a future thing. That's a now. When we gave our hearts to the Lord, we are a new creation. We are not who we were. We may not be who we're going to be, right? But we are in that journey, in that state of how I've always said, we're in that state of becoming. And the Proverbs 31 woman was in a state of becoming. And this next part is going to be, we're going to begin on the book of Esther. And like Proverbs 31 woman, we're going to see with that same perspective that Esther is a representation not just of one person, but it's an Esther company of people. And again, that refers to the corporate expression of the church or God's loved ones, so to speak. So I think this, I mean, when I started realizing this, I was so excited because when Pastor Jan said those couple of weeks ago about the corporate expression in Proverbs 31, it took me and my imagination to see something corporate in places I never looked at the book of Esther like a corporate expression of the body of Christ. And so it's going to be fun, I think. And we know, just some background, Esther was the bride. She was the queen. We'll get into the details in the coming weeks. So I'm just going to give an overlay a little bit, and then we'll end up being done. She was the queen. She was the bride. She was a representation corporately of the church and the body of Christ. And though she, like the church, had a title. We are, the Lord's children. We have a lot of authority, we have a lot of privilege and all that, but we have some limited influence because we're not God, right? We have some limitations, and Esther had limitations with the king, right? And so she wasn't in the story, she wasn't beyond the royal decree that said if you approach the king, you could face death if you weren't summoned, And so we know that in that story that does come about, and we will, like I said, we'll get into it more. But it didn't, even though she was queen, even though she's the bride, it didn't remove her from risk. And I believe in this hour that there is going to be risks required of us and courage required of us, in the days ahead. So she was part of the king's household, which we are. She was submissive, she was humble, and like the Proverbs 31 woman that we looked at, she was guided by wisdom. Wisdom is what guided her, wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And we'll see, like I said, we'll see that story come to fruition as we go in the next couple of weeks. Now, we know Esther had a fierce enemy, which was Haman, and it's also representative of the church of Satan or the devil trying to harass and extinguish the body of Christ, the body of believers. And when we look at the Beatitudes, it says we're blessed if we are persecuted. We're blessed if people speak ill of us, And so Haman went out of his way to create the scenario that tricked the king into making a law. And we'll get into that, like I said, later. In Ephesians chapter 5, we can look at that, verses 25 and 26 and 27. Okay. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Now, remember, the last week or so, I talked about the Jewish people, the men were recited the book of Esther and Proverbs. But the men, when they would recite the book of Esther and the families, they would mention Haman, the enemy, and they would all boo. They still do that to this day. And then in the Proverbs 31, same thing. It was a process and a corporate expression. And so in 25, who's our husband? God. Who speaks well of us like the men did to the women? Jesus does. You are this, you are that. You are this, you are that. You are beautiful, you are loved, you are worthy, you are awesome, you are, full of life. Just go on. You're kind, you're generous. Jesus himself brags on his children. Jesus himself brags on, like a husband would, to the women in their family in reciting Proverbs 31 to their family, to their wives, sisters, daughters, and so on. So Jesus brags on us as not only his children, but as his bride. So, we are simultaneously children and a bride. Only God can do that kind of stuff, right? So he gave up his life for her. Verse 26, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. So when we think of all the things we're not, you're dumb, you're ugly, you're fat, you're this, you're that, right? Jesus himself says something different, and he calls us holy as the bride and without fault. That's pretty incredible because we are without fault. Not that we stop sinning. We are without fault because we are in Christ Jesus. We live and move and have our essence and our being in Christ. So I love that. And it says here that this was the scripture I was referring to. He presents her, the bride, to himself as a glorious church, a bride without spot or wrinkle or blemish. And like I said, he calls us holy and without fault. When Jesus went to the cross and said, "It is finished," this is what that is. We are forgiven. And we are free and without fault in Christ Jesus. And by the sacrifice of Jesus, his death, resurrection, and ascension. So that's something to really celebrate, you know. And when we look into the book of Esther in the next couple of weeks, we will see that she went through a cleansing and a beautification process as well. And so, again, if you look at it with the perspective that it's a representation of the body of Christ, you'll see it as different. You know, you'll see, you know, when God is cleansing and when God is beautifying. And that is the very description of what it means to be sanctified, right? The journey, the state of becoming, right? The beautiful process. The church as the bride is a living preview or a trailers, if you will, a trailer of God's coming new creation that we see in the book of Revelation. Lastly, before we go on, in the Old Testament, the betrothal period was met with separation of the bride and the groom. And so too, the church and the body of Christ, the bride, is separate from the bridegroom until the second coming, in the sense that we know he's with us. I'm not saying that. In the sense that he is making for us a place in the kingdom of heaven. He's prepared, he said, "I go away and I prepare a place for you." He is preparing something for us. And in the second coming is when we see the marriage of the Lamb and the bride, his wife. You know, so I loved that idea that, you know, it makes sense that Jesus is separate before the second coming, but we also have been given by Jesus the Holy Spirit, Jesus and the Father, right? The Trinity with us here and now. So in God, all these things can happen. It, you know, all these kind of conflicting realities can come together and in the Lord, you know, and it's just he's so genius about how he does these things. So the church, when the church age is over and we await what Revelation speaks of, the marriage or the consummation of the bride and our husband, bridegroom Jesus, we wait faithfully with hope eternal as our hearts and our spirits are more and more, as the days get darker, crying out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come." Okay, I am going to wrap it up there, and we will continue next week. Any questions or whatever, you guys can, for Dominique, she can write them down. We can talk separately if you want on Sunday, but I'm done. So I hope you guys are inspired and excited by the Word of God, you know, and I hope that the Holy Spirit takes you all on a journey where you're on a treasure hunt for more and more of Him. Amen.